Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to be at today. And I've entitled the message, When Jesus Met a Leper. Let's begin with a word of prayer today. Father, we thank you for this day, and we just thank you for your word. I pray that you would apply it to our hearts and our lives as we look at a story of a real person that encountered Jesus and his life was changed. We give you the thanks. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. When a man, a leprous man, met Jesus. Let's look at that today. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 12. It says, While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Who was covered with leprosy. How many have ever seen somebody with leprosy? Okay? You have, okay? Leprosy was fairly common in biblical times. In fact, it's referred to many different times within Scripture of people with a lot of different needs, but people with leprosy, they came to Jesus. Leprosy is still found in our world today. Back then, they didn't really know of a known cure for leprosy. Now, let's look at some pictures of leprosy so you can kind of get an idea. Sometimes it's more of a tumorous, this is more of the tumorous leprosy. You can see those tumors are on his face and how it disfigured him. It kills the nerve endings. You can see how his fingers are gone. And so leprosy is a skin disease, and it kills the nerve endings, so they can't feel anything. So they hurt their toes, their feet, their hands, and it begins to slowly eat away at their extremities, and eventually will kill people. Very demeaning disease. And so when these people would get leprosy in Israel and other areas, they were kind of disowned by people and they were kept to their own communities. They're kind of quarantined. All right? And when they would come into the communities, people would, you know, yell out, here's a leper, unclean. They weren't very nice to these people. Because there was a lot of fear that if they got too close to these people, they themselves would get leprosy. Nobody wanted leprosy. And so they were very mean and cruel to these people. And if you had leprosy, you were considered unclean. In other words, spiritually, you couldn't go into the temple. You couldn't go to church to worship because you were considered unclean. And so you were kept to these communities and kind of shunned by the rest of the world. Leprosy is also called what is called today Hansen's disease. It's caused by a bacteria. And while it may be more common in third world countries, 100 cases of leprosy are diagnosed each year in the United States. And back then it was not treatable. Today it is treatable. And there are cures for it. And it can be addressed. But it was a very cruel disease just because of what it did to the people as the pictures that we saw. And so I want us to look at this. It says that Luke, the physician, tells us that as Jesus was going to one of the towns, we don't know what town it was, but he was going into one of the towns, this man finds him that is covered with leprosy. That tells me he just didn't have leprosy in one part of his body, his hand, his arm, his face. But it was all over him, his hands, his feet, his back, his chest. It was there. Wherever he went, there went his leprosy too. It was there with him. I'm assuming, it doesn't say, but we have to assume that he has done all in his power to see doctors, to see physicians, to find a cure for his disease. But up to this point, nothing has worked. He has leprosy. And it's consuming, it's covered his body. And so this man pushes through the people, the crowds that are there. They're scoffing, they're ridicule. And when he saw Jesus, it says that he fell face down to the ground and begged him. He's ashamed. You can see his unworthiness. Right? Because he's an outcast of society. But he pushes past the onlookers, the people that are staring at him. Maybe the people that have yelled on his way there that are saying, you know, away from us, get away from us, leper. Sometimes those comments hurt probably just as much as the rocks that they threw at him, chasing this man away. He fell face down to the ground and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can what? You can make me clean. You can take away my leprosy, my disease. You can make, even beyond that, you can make me clean. I think there's the double meaning there, in that not only could his skin be cleansed, but he could be spiritually saw as clean again. His leprosy could be removed. And it says that Jesus reached out his hand, and he says, I'm willing. And the man was made clean. You know, it took a lot of guts for this man to approach Jesus in his condition. And it maybe looked a little bit like, we're going to kind of act it out a little bit for you. Josh is going to help us out. But that man pushed through the scorn, the ridicule, the shame that he felt. And he had the guts to come before Jesus, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And see, it was a powerful thing. You can read, we read through this, and it says that Jesus touched him. Just not coming through. There I am. All right. He reached out and he touched him. And did you know that when Jesus reached out and touched him, not only was the man healed, but he made himself unclean. Technically, by the temple worship, by touching a man with leprosy or even a dead person, Jesus made himself unclean in the process by reaching out and touching that man. And you know, that ties in with what Scripture says, that he took upon himself our sin, our sickness, and our disease. Gary read about that. And when he went to the cross, he didn't go on the cross because of his own wrongdoing, his own sin, but he bore our sin, our sickness, and our disease. And there's a beautiful picture in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement. Once a year, they would sacrifice one lamb and they'd bring in another lamb. They were blameless, spotless lambs. They were perfect lambs. And they'd be brought before the assembly and all the people. And one would be sacrificed. And his blood would be taken into the holy place and sprinkled upon the Ark of the Covenant, which would symbolize that their sins had been covered over and been forgiven. But the other lamb, the high priest would take his hand and he'd put it upon the lamb's head, and it symbolized that the sins of Israel had been transferred to this lamb, and then it was taken out into the wilderness and released. And it was a very vivid picture that their sins had been carried away. And that's what Jesus did for this man. Not only did he carry his sickness away, but he carried his sin as well. He carried it away. Jesus reached out and touched the man. He says, I am willing. Be cleaned. Exclamation point there is in your Bibles. Be cleaned. And immediately it says, Luke says, the leprosy left him. It was gone. One minute was there, the next minute it is gone. Okay? Happy dance time. All right? Yeah. He was excited. He wanted to tell everybody about it. Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Go to the priest. Show yourself to the priest. Have him examine you to make sure that it's gone. Offer the sacrifice that Moses said you're supposed to offer. And you will be declared clean. You can go back and worship in the temple with everybody else. Now, because of that and other miracles that Jesus did, the crowds grew, right? And it says in verse 15, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But in the midst of all this, Luke puts this in here. But Jesus what? Often withdrew to lonely places and what? And he prayed. And he prayed. There's a few things that I want us to draw, some conclusions I want us to draw here this morning. In your bulletin, there's several notes. We're going to hit these pretty fast. But there's some things that I want us to catch here this morning. in our story. First of all, to come to Jesus with your need. Come to Jesus with your need. We all have needs that our society and culture can't fix. Whether it is for healing, whether it is for financial provision, whether it's for the healing of relationships. We all have something that we cannot fix, that we've tried to fix, just like the leper. All to no avail. The worst of all is our spiritual leprosy, which is called sin. Leprosy is also used in a figurative sense to refer to our sin in Scripture. No matter what you do, no matter how much you scrub, you'll never be able to scrub away your sin in your life. Okay? You can't get rid of it. Only the blood of Christ and what He did for you on the cross of Christ, cross of Calvary will be able to remove your sin. And so we learn from the leper to come to Jesus with our need. And that involves a couple different things which the leper did. He admitted that he had a condition that he couldn't solve. That's in your notes. He had a condition that he couldn't fix. You have to admit that you have a problem, that you have a sin problem that you can't fix, and that only Jesus can take care of that need. Admit that your condition, you have a condition that needs his attention. Secondly, you have to believe, right? If you don't believe in your heart that Christ can forgive you of your sins or heal your condition, you have to believe. And this man believed. He says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me," right? It's not a matter of if you're able to do it, it's just a matter of, "Lord, are you willing?" And Jesus says, "I am." You have to believe, and then thirdly, you have to come boldly. You know, and this man had a lot against him. He had every reason to say, "You know what, I'm not going to go to Jesus. I'm going to be ridiculed. People are going to make fun of me. Maybe throw rocks at me. They're going to yell out, get away from me." But he pressed through that and he came boldly, put everything aside, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus met him where he was at. So we learn to come to Jesus with our need. We're going to have an opportunity to do that at the end of the service this morning. Secondly, minister with love and compassion. We learn that from Jesus, don't we? To minister with love and compassion. Everybody else was keeping this man at a distance. And they were cruel. Even friends and family of this man, they maybe weren't as cruel, but they probably still kept their distance. And they probably never touched this man after he had contracted his disease. He was kept at a distance. You know, leprosy isn't as contagious as they think. It's actually not very contagious. But because of their fears, they kept themselves at a distance. But see, Jesus ministered with love and compassion. And he had love for all people, even the outcasts of society. That's underneath that second point. He had love for all people. Even the outcasts, even the lepers, folks, that nobody else wanted to have contact with. You know, and you go back to some of those pictures we showed earlier, just the look of them is enough to repel a lot of us, isn't it? It's saying we don't even want to be near them. But see, Jesus was willing to reach out and even touch them. He had love and he had compassion. Compassion. Compassion is an interesting word. It's more than just having pity on a person, but it's such a strong inner feeling. It's a feeling we feel in our gut. The Greek word is splunkna or something like that. Kind of captures it a little bit, but it's a feeling you feel down in your gut when you have compassion. And it's such a strong feeling that it propels you to do something. It's not just, "Oh, I feel sorry for somebody," but compassion means it moves you so strongly that it gets you out of your comfort zone and you actually go out and do something. And throughout Scripture, you'll see many times where Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion for the feeding of the 5,000. He saw these people that needed, they were tired from a day's journey. And he didn't want to send them off on their own. He was moved with compassion. And he reached out to them. Compassion is a strong emotional stirring that moves us into action. And lastly, love and compassion are more powerful than hatred and judgment. They're more powerful than hatred and judgment. You know, and I look at the church today, and I don't know if you were to do a survey, would the people see the church, and that's a pretty broad term, okay, it takes in all churches, not just Radiant Springs Church. But if the common people going down the street, if you were to do a survey, would they know the church as being full of hatred and judgment or love and compassion? How would they rate the church? Jesus was known for his love and compassion. He also will judge the earth at one day. But when he walked this earth, he was a person of love and compassion. The third thing that I see from our story is to spend time alone with God in prayer. For Jesus, he had every excuse to say, you know what, man, I got people coming. There's people that need me, right? There's people that need me. They're coming to be healed and to be delivered. They're coming from sun up to sun down and throughout the day. He had every reason to say, you know what, I'm not going to pray today. But he says that even while it was still dark, he would go out in the mornings or in the evenings, and he would find a place away from everybody else, and there he would come before God the Father. And it was there that he was refreshed. It was there he was renewed. It was there that he had guidance from God the Father. And it was there that he was empowered to minister day after day. You know what? We're no different than Jesus in that way. God has called us to be a blessing to other people, to minister. And you're only going to be able to do that is if you spend some time alone with God in prayer. 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes. Get alone with God in prayer. It's there you're going to be refreshed. It's there you're going to have guidance. It's there you're going to be empowered. It just doesn't happen on its own. And I know some of you, you live in a pretty crazy household, okay? If you have kids at the house, it's kind of like, where in the world am I going to find some quiet and time? You know? You can do it. I don't know, maybe it's in the bathroom. I don't know where it is. Lock the door. There's a funny story. Dale shared about this to the, I won't give names, but Dale shared this with his group on Wednesday nights, the young boys. And so, after that Wednesday night, the one boy that was in his class locked himself in the bathroom, and mom says, you need to let me in. And the boy says, no, I can't let you in. And she goes, you have to. What's up? You need to let me in. No, I can't. What are you doing in there? I can't tell you what I'm doing in there. And Dale said, we couldn't tell you. And so mom's kind of, you know, her mind is racing in it. And what he was doing, he was literally going into his prayer closet and not telling anybody that he was praying. So it was all good. But he was taking it very literally. But we need to get that quiet time alone with God and seek his face. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come this morning. You know, this is only a few verses of Scripture, but it's a powerful story. If we were to have been there in person to see that lived out, and just how that man's life was changed in a few moments.